the shores of El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. It's a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, knows what it's doing. Truth is our bitch, and we go places on this show other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. And not only welcome to our listeners on radio, welcome to our many backstage pass holders who watch our show every night by way of our backstage pass, and they watch our video cast, and we do a video cast every night. Now, new today at the Phil Hendry Show website, the long-lost archives of the Milwaukee Lion football team, and I can't even, it's so filthy, I can't say the name of the play-by-play guy.
Who's that?
I can't say his name.
It's Jack.
Don't say it, bud. I honestly can't say that. Anyway, check it out. The Milwaukee Lions, the archives of their football games, some of them from the, I think, late 70s and early 80s. And it was some of the most unseemly and obscene coverage of football. And actually, it was not meant to be. It just kind of turned out that way because the team was up and down. And I think the play-by-play guy needed a straitjacket. 877-876-PHIL. 877-8. I wish I could tell you more.
Yeah, I mean, you don't tell people nothing about that.
What do you want me to tell you?
What league were they in?
NFL Hillbilly.
NFL Hillbilly?
NFL Hillbilly, and they played a few seasons. I think they're back together again, or they got back together later on. Well, they did get back together later on, and we're going to have those games archived too. All right, I can't tell you anymore. We got to get into it. Our website is philhendryshow.com. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. So the Olympics in London have begun. This evening, I watched a little bit of the gymnastics. Some of you may be catching it, you know, in odd shifts. I don't know if you're... a lot of you guys listening to us tonight are working or you're driving. I just saw a gold medal won by one of our swimmers. Missy Franklin won the backstroke, 100-meter backstroke gold just moments ago. Now the guys are gymnastics-wise on the floor. We are going to talk about the gymnastics from last night. With a man whose daughter is interested and is currently training in gymnastics, Stephen Bozell from Corona, California. And we're talking with him this hour, I think, probably about what we saw last night among the young women. Steve is on the line with us. Steve, how are you?
I'm real good, Phil. Thank you very much for having me on your program.
It's my pleasure. And we've talked to you before on different issues having to do with your family. I didn't know your daughter is involved in gymnastics competitively.
April Junior is right now is just training with I have a dozen other girls in middle school at the middle school level.
And where's she training at the school?
No, sir. We've got her in private with a private coach, and one of the reasons that she is training in gymnastics is because she, you know, has seen the Olympics and wants to, I guess, you know.
She wants to do what she sees on TV.
Yeah, I mean that's the way a lot of young people are, and I'm happy to help her with that. When we had a meeting with the coach this morning, and we had to tell April that we needed her to withdraw though from training. It hurt her badly, but I told her, I said, you know, Daddy and Mom are looking out for you, and there's no way I want my daughter involved in it if what I saw is true.
All right, now let's get to the heart of this thing now. You're talking about gymnastics. Your daughter was in training. You've withdrawn her from it. As a result of what?
Just as a result of what I think I've seen and a lot of people have seen. That's the, I think it's abnormal. I don't know if people know that much about gymnastics to know, but I can tell you that from my experience, and I'm not a gymnastic expert, but I've seen enough of it. There's an abnormal development, I think, in these girls, and that's the part I want to clear up before we give the green light for my daughter to be involved in it at all.
What did you see? Were you watching the gymnastics last night?
Yes, sir.
What did you see?
Well, I saw what a lot of people have seen. I don't know if you noticed it, Mr. Henry, but the girls that are competing in gymnastics, especially the American girls, have a very abnormal, I think, development of muscle in the arms. I don't want to make any accusations, but I don't know if there has ever been a more obvious situation where you start to think in terms of steroids. And
you, do you, are you saying you think that the female, the American gymnastics team...
Yes, the women and the men don't look as the men don't look as bulky. They don't look as built up or what we used to say when I was lifting weights. You know, you're all ripped up, and or you, you know what I mean. You're cut and you're ripped up. I don't see that with the men, but the women I do see that. Now I know there's a lot of people listening tonight, especially because of the late hour. Most of the people listening are third shifters. There's probably not a lot of people in your audience tonight that do training or that kind of rigorous training because I think people, I think statistics show people who work at night tend to be more sedentary in the daytime.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I mean, there's all kinds of people that are working at night just as they're all... What, why do you say that?
Well, the reason why I say that is because the level of if I'm going to talk about this, I need for you to understand that I'm coming from a place where I have seen Olympic gymnastic competition. That's why I said to my wife last night, I said, we have to go talk to this coach. I need to withdraw April Jr. from this competition.
All right, our number 877-876-7445. Boy, every time there's an Olympics, on our show at least, there's always some controversy involved in either the security or the competition itself. Are you, and now you're saying that, and of course you're not there, so...
No, sir, I'm not.
Okay, so we're really not talking, with all due respect, you're not an expert.
Well, when you say I'm not an expert...
I'm saying that you're not a gymnastics coach, are you?
No, sir, but I'm a father. I'm a father, and I've seen enough of gymnastics on the Olympics to see the relative level of development. And when you looked at the gymnastic girls last night on the gymnastic competition from the Olympic on in London, and you look at the gymnastic girls from years gone by, especially if you've seen any pictures they had of back when Mary Lou Retton and all them, the girls today are either... taking steroids.
Well, all right, let's say they're just doing a lot of weight training.
Well, all right, let's say they're doing weight training. But the point is that it is it's an abnormal look, I think. And
I don't know. I don't agree with you.
Well, yeah, hold on, Mr. Now, I watched the Olympics, and again, you work at night, and I don't. I think just your audience needs to hear the voice of someone.
Well, are you purporting to be an expert? See, here's the thing. I don't think you have all that much more experience watching the Olympics than I do.
No, I'm saying that as a father, I got more experience than you. Because I look at my daughter, who is just, she's a little girl, and then I look at the little girls they had on last night.
Is your daughter about the same age as these kids?
My daughter's 14. I think she's probably the same age as some of them, yeah. And I can tell you, looking at these girls last night, and look at my daughter, who is a normal-looking girl, and you look at the girls on the gymnastics last night, I'm looking at a pack of bulked up. They're just bulked up and bulked up freaks. They're not freaks, but the
well, that's a hard you know, judgment.
No, okay, I'm not saying freaks, but they are very muscle bound. And let me say this, Mr. Henry.
That's a harsh judgment to lay on some kids that are training for the, you know, that are in the Olympics. You know, and
well, okay, maybe a harsh judgment, but I'm not the one that sent them to the Olympics to say you go and be in the Olympics and win a gold medal. They decided that they wanted to go to the Olympics and be in competition and get, you know, big, get a big arms on them and get on and have a muscled up, you know, rear end. If you look at these girls, their rear ends are so muscled up, the leotard doesn't cover it. And the entire...
what do you say to people? I don't mean to interrupt you, sir.
Well, no, but the entire effect, sir, is unsettling. And that's why we pulled April Jr. out, because I don't want her looking like some muscled, you know, thing like that. It bothers me to that extent. I want my daughter to be a...
What do you say to people who may say to you, you are... a little weird with your opinion in terms of a little girl's rear end?
I'm a father, Mr. Henry. This got nothing to do with it. I would say this. You know, clean up your mind, clean your act up. You know, just clean it up. I'm a father, okay? When I look at a little girl, 14, 15-year-old girl's butt, I'm not looking for any reason other than is that leotard covering that child's butt. And last night, you could see leotard slipping off of their butts I mean...
Right. It sounds... Okay, fine.
I'm a father, and I don't need to explain that, okay? Somebody wants to be a sick twist. Someone wants to be sick about it. That's their problem. I'm just telling you, I'm proud of the American gymnast, but I'm concerned at the muscled-up... These girls look like they were too muscled out.
All right. Steven, I got to take a break here, okay?
Yes, sir.
And I'm going to be back with you. And I'm not trying to say you're a per. I'm just asking you, what do you think of people who might think that?
Yeah, no, that's their problem. It's not mine.
Okay, I understand that. 877-876-7445. So the female gymnast last night, at least in the mind of one man, were so muscled. Are they taking steroids? Is the weight training too intense? Are they beginning to look a little freaky? He took his daughter out of gymnastics today, fearful that maybe that is what the focus is now. Our number is 877-876-7445. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch.
Just drink a water.
The Phil Hendry Show.
All right.
Welcome
back. World famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445. As we're talking here with Stephen Bozell of Corona, California, about the gymnastics, the female gymnastics. The men are currently, is this girl from, where is this?
That's another year.
This is London now. Look at the girls last night. And you were upset, Mr. Bozell, seeing this competition because the girls looked a little muscle-bound.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying that they're not great young ladies. I'm not saying that...
No, I understand that. But you think that there's some steroid use?
I don't know if it's steroid use. I'm just saying that it's not anything that, as a father, I'm prone to... I've got to take my daughter and what she's doing, I got to take it all into account. I'm looking at my daughter. She's 14. She has interests. That, of course, some of them are healthy. Some may be interests that I can't afford to have her going down that road. And if she's going down a road here, where did you see any of this gymnastics last night, Mr. Henry?
No, sir, I did not.
Oh, so you didn't see the young ladies?
No, I did not.
Okay, I mean it was a little bit of a freak. It was freak town. As I told my wife, and she came home, and I said, I want to speak with April Junior's coach because I think we should withdraw. My wife said, why? I said, because I was looking at nothing but one parade of freaks after another.
I saw a video of the girls, and I saw some film of them. I didn't see any freak town, okay?
I'm talking as an experienced viewer of gymnastics. I've seen...
What is your experience, Steve? Excuse me for saying this, but... I don't know. I mean, they look muscular. Mary Lou Retton looked muscular to me.
Yeah, no. Mary Lou Retton, everyone has accepted, was an aberration. Young ladies have... She was an aberration. She had massive legs. She had a massive, she's just a big, thick, thighs on her and everything. But I'm talking about the...
I didn't see Mary Lou Retton. It didn't look like a freak, though. You know, I mean, she looked like a little... She was a little petite girl.
Well, she wasn't petite. I don't know where you get that.
Well, what do you call petite? I mean, to me, Mary Lou Retton was muscular.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm right there is what I'm talking about, okay?
And you object to that?
I most certainly do, Mr. Henry, because...
Why?
Sir, if I can finish?
Because it just seems to me that the weight training is a normal part of athletic competition now.
If I can finish, sir.
Go ahead.
Weight training doesn't mean you turn a young woman... into a muscled, muscled up looking, she loses her femininity, she loses her curves, she loses the things that makes it, and that, and I'm not saying that I'm not saying that, as a father, why can't I say that leotard should cover them properly? Why do I have to be afraid of being seen as a pervert? Because I'm talking about how the leotard run up the back. That's all I'm saying.
You know, you were on the program once before, sir, talking about the propriety of young women and the things that they do, and I know that it got you...
When you're a father of a young girl, you're going to be talking about those things. And if that makes some people think that I'm, a weird, guy, okay. But I can tell you, to me, it's a natural thing to want your daughter not to be some muscle-bound ape, swinging from a set of rings or however they do it. And for me, it's important.
When you pulled your daughter out of gymnastics, how did she react?
That's not important, sir.
I'm just, well, okay, but may I ask you, how did she react?
I that's not important, sir.
You don't want to tell me how your daughter reacted by being pulled out of gymnastics?
I'm telling you it's not important.
I feel it is.
Well, I'm her father, and I'm not going to go into that because it doesn't matter how she feels. What's the best thing for the girl is what I feel is the best thing.
So I'm going to take that as she reacted negatively.
It's not. I didn't say that. I'm just simply saying to you that it's not important how she reacted when her father, that's me, I made a decision.
All right, so what, Steve, what is the next?
I made a decision, and that's the decision going to stick. I don't,
Okay, well, I mean, did she react positive?
I'm not going to say, sir.
Okay, what's the next step?
I don't know what you mean by the next step. I mean, we told her that she's got to stay in her room.
No. What is the next move now with gymnastics for you?
No, I mean, I'm satisfied that our daughter's been pulled out. I mean, I've had people say to me, you don't know what you're talking about, and I'll say to them, I'm an athletic person myself. I get out, I do things. And I'll tell you right now, if you're a late shifter or a third shifter and you're living on donuts and coffee, don't tell me about it because I know what I'm saying. And and they can do whatever they want to do, and they can that's them. But I'm convinced that for my daughter, it's the right thing.
And, but there's a reason why you're on my show.
Well, I mean, just to tell you that I think what's going on here is bad.
All right, 877-876-7445. Let's go over here to Larry Grover. Go ahead, Larry, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, Phil, I'm listening to this gentleman and Steve, right?
Yes, sir.
All right, Steve, I've got four daughters. And they don't live with me. They live with their mother. But I got to tell you that a lot of what you're saying here, this is the United States, it's athletic competition, and we want to field the very finest women that we can.
I understand that.
Okay. And even though these are young girls and they've got muscles and all this, it seems to me that you've got to understand that they're going to be more developed, and you looking at their rear ends.
Sir, I told...
No, I'm not saying you don't have a right to do what's best for your daughter. But I've got four daughters who live with their mother. I can't look at if they're in a leotard, I can't look at their rear ends because that gets back to their mother, and she'll have me arrested.
Well, I'm sorry that that's the situation with you, sir. That's not my situation. I run my own house.
Well, what does that mean, you run your own house? I run my house, too, buddy.
And, well, you just said you could get arrested if you're looking at your daughter's rear end.
Because their mother is a C word. You understand what I mean by that? Their mother is the lowest form of life I know. You understand that, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, what is your point, Larry?
My point is not every father can be as free with his assessing his daughter's leotard as this guy who's staring at his daughter's rear end and the ones on TV.
It's not like I'm living my life doing it.
All right, but you're coming on here talking about the leotards and the rear ends and all this stuff. I can't do it. And I've got to just go ahead and defer to let my daughters, if they want to go into gymnastics, they have to become muscle-bound freaks, as you call it. Wearing those funny-looking leotards, there's nothing I can do about it. And I think at the end of the day, there's nothing you're going to be able to do about it either. That's what I'm talking about.
Well, I think...
What, so you're saying there's nothing you can do about what? What are you saying you can't...
I can't do anything about Phil, whether they wear leotards or not. I can't do anything about whether they are in gymnastics or not. I can't do anything about any of it because they don't live with me. I don't have custody.
Well, sir, I do have custody.
Well, good for you.
Okay. So he hung up.
Boy, there's a guy that's wound. Man, he wound tight.
He's wound very tight. So his daughters don't live with him. His ex-wife has custody. Okay. I understand that. All right, we're going to come back with Stephen Bozell. We have Margaret Gray, who's also in London. She'll be talking with us. More of your phone calls on the modern gymnast, the modern female gymnast, all of those muscles they've got. And they're power-packed, man. 877-876-7445. The men are at it tonight on the floor exercises. And Margaret Gray will have that report for us, too, later on in the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Famous 877-876-7445. Stephen Bozell with us from Corona, California. And we were taking some phone calls from people as well on the last gentleman that called, Steve, with four daughters. He can't find him. He can't, you know, and their mother has custody. He can't be looking at their leotards to see if they ride up her rear end.
Well, you know, I'm sorry. You know, my marriage is intact. I'm sorry that he lost. You know, his daughters don't live with him. My marriage is intact. My wife understands that I'm not going to allow my daughters to be, or my one daughter, I've only got the one daughter, to go to the Olympics and look like a freak on, you know, on wheels.
I don't see those girls looking freaky.
Okay. I mean, I don't know what to tell you, Senator. You know, if you're looking them up and down, and
you know, no. You're the one, sir.
Well, I'm looking as a father.
Okay, well, I'm looking as a father too. All right, even though my kids are grown up and out, and I'm telling you that I don't see it.
Well, the angry tone you just took with me. What is that about?
Well, the whole idea that they're muscle bound freaks, I didn't see that, and the fact that the leotards riding up over their rear end. I didn't see that either. Now, if you want to talk about that, maybe beach volleyball.
Okay, see, that's where you're looking at a woman. Now, those are women. And if you see that going up, I don't want to make any comment that is perceived as sexual. I'm just saying there's a propriety and appropriateness that is not shown on the leotard going up the rear, and the girls have got big, they got guns on them, big biceps, that are way, way too huge.
They look like they're in good physical shape. They look very muscular. They're athletes, and these are very demanding exercises, but they don't look freaky to me. 877-876-7445. Let's go to Casey on the Phil Hendry Show. Casey, hi. You're on with Stephen Bozell this evening. Go ahead.
Hi.
No, it doesn't look that way.
No, it doesn't look that way to me. Yeah, Casey?
I was just calling to make a comment to Steve. I just, I'm driving home listening to this, and I have to say, I'm appalled that somebody would go on the radio and call these Olympic athletes representing our country, the United States, and would call them freak shows and compare them to apes swinging from rings or whatever. I'm just appalled.
Their fans and family and friends.
They can hear you. I understand,
ma'am, but this is sports, and in sports you're going to get booed, and a lot of stuff will happen in sports. Haven't you been to sports?
I'm a college athlete myself. No, I am a college athlete myself.
Well, then you hear people booing, and that's my right as a sports fan. I can boo it and say it's no good.
You don't boo the individual and call them a freak show. That has nothing to do with their athletic performance.
Well, if you follow football and the quarterback throws an interception, I'll boo that freak left side. But
you know, these are 14, 15, 16-year-old girls. What about that?
And you want to call them a freak show? If you want me to let you finish, can you please let me finish?
They're all muscled up.
Okay, but here's another point I want to make to you. If you're a scholar, the more you study, the better you're going to do on a test, the better you'll perform on a test. If you are a singer, the better you work on your vocals and practice, the better you're going to perform in concert. If you are an athlete, the more you train and develop your body and skills, the more muscular you're going to be and the higher level you're going to perform at.
That's not necessarily true.
How can you criticize these athletes for being toned and being in shape.
First of all, the American men didn't win no gold medal. American men didn't win no gold medal, and they're all buffed out and ripped up.
Well, okay. All right. I think what the lady's point is this, if you don't mind.
No, Mr. Henry, don't jump in and save people. Let her, you know, you ain't saving me.
I don't think he's saving me. I don't think he's
I'm just giving an opinion. I'm just giving an opinion.
Well, I'm giving an opinion, too. And I'm telling you.
He's saving you.
I'm telling you something. If you get on the radio and criticize our Olympic athletes that are representing us as a country, there's going to be a lot of people booing you. Do you have no respect for these women who have dedicated their lives?
They're not women. They're little girls. They are the daughters of some people who I think should be taking into consideration. Excuse me. I'm a father, okay? And if I saw my daughter all ripped, you know, with muscles on her arms bigger than her head, okay, how do you feel about that?
Okay, someday when I have a daughter, if she is that dedicated to something, and if she is representing our country that is currently at war, and she's rep freak show and compared to an
And
ape,
you want her arm muscle to be bigger than her head. I don't think that's something
you're taking into consideration. If that makes her good at what she does, and if gymnastics is her passion, then that's going to happen if she's training for it. If you are going to do something, do it the best you can. And if you're going to represent the United States, which, by the way, you live in, you do it the best you can. And there's no way around that. They're going to train. They're going to train hard. And they're going to develop their muscles. That's how being an athlete works. And you say you're an athlete.
How come that one girl didn't have big muscles?
People's bodies develop differently. Have you taken a biology class? Do you know human anatomy? People's bodies develop differently. Some are long and slender,
some are
muscular.
All these girls, they're lifting weights. They got butts on them like they're just, well, I shouldn't say, but they all look like they just come out of the Congo or something. And
what does that mean?
Oh, you know what I don't mean nothing racist by it.
Well, you just as hell did.
In what way?
They look like they just come out of the Congo.
Well,
first you call them apes, now you say they're from the Congo?
Butt. Ape? What? No, I said what.
No,
I think what's going on now is
swinging
you
hearing.
Don't. You? No, I. No, I. That,
yes, you did.
Yes,
yeah, you did.
You did. That's why I called.
Well, I'm a father. I can look at a girl's butt and not be a pervert. That's what I'm trying to say.
But you.
Okay, fine.
You can look at a girl and call her an ape, but not be judgmental and not be disrespectful. As a father, what would you do if somebody called your daughter an ape? How would you feel if you had
said... If she's muscled up like
your
hard-earned
money and your time sending your daughter to gymnastics, and then somebody called her an ape, how appalled would you be?
I would first ask him, what do you mean by that? And if he explained it the way I'm trying to say it, I would shake his hand and thank him.
Oh, yeah, right. So sure you would, man.
Okay. I just gave the woman an honest answer, and you call me a liar?
I'm calling you
disrespectful. You know what, I'm just saying, Mr. Bozell, that it's a very odd opinion to have when, as this young lady, and thank you very much for your call, Casey, as this young lady was saying, it's a very odd opinion to have when you're talking about athletes competing. 877-876-7445. Here is Lindsay on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, Lindsay.
I think it's appalled that you feel like you have the authority to talk about gymnastics. Like, you've ever walked in a balance beam before? I would really love to see your ass get up there and try and do a flip. Because sure as hell, you can't even do it on the ground. So when you start talking
I don't know what skill that is. What are you going to do with a skill like that? Become a stunt woman? There's nothing.
Okay. My daughter wants. People make this into their career. People dedicate their lives, their blood, sweat, and tears. And these girls have given everything they have. So why would you disrespect the fact of their dream, okay? No one. Who decided
what
to
career?
Go out and be an astronaut? I mean, come on.
Well, how can you make money, you know, running and leaping?
I make money. I make a full time living job. I have an entire household that I take care of, and I do exactly that. And I have those kind of muscles. So when you start talking about it disrespectfully, then it's rude because you have no right to say it.
You don't have
any idea.
I'm talking about my daughter getting out on there.
Your daughter.
I don't running and leaping.
Cutting down her dreams.
How do you make money? Yeah,
when I started developing, and when I cut puberty or whatnot, but you know what? They were there to support me when they asked me, do you really want to ruin your body will never look the same. And I said, yes, this is what I want to dedicate my life to. These girls know what they're going through, okay, but you don't.
You want to tell me how you make money jumping and leaping and running around like that?
I would love to.
How do you do that? Tell me, how do you do it?
I'm an aerial acrobat. I'm a full-time aerial acrobat.
Okay, so in other words, you work in the circus. All right, you work in the circus. Mr. Henry, my point's made.
Well, what's wrong with that?
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
I've raised my children to become circus, and they don't want me to use it.
22 years of gymnastics training, I'd love to see your ass try and do it. Please,
ma'am, excuse me, ma'am, but my dream was not to work under the big top, you know.
Okay, that's your dream. I'm sure you work under a trailer park. That's pretty much what
you're
doing.
No, ma'am, I don't work in a trailer park. I own my own construction business. I own my own. In fact, I'm the guy that builds the tent that you swing around in.
Ignorant people like you who don't want to research and don't want to do anything. And I agree with the last caller. Maybe you should look into biology because you obviously don't understand.
You want to be a circus freak? That's your.
There you go again with that freak word. Why do you use that word?
Yeah, she's working
because
in the big
top. He doesn't understand other people. He obviously only has one mindset. Because you don't want to be open to other people.
Ma'am, all I said was, I don't want my daughter with muscles on her arms bigger than her, wider than her head.
Why the hell would you talk about a leotard? I'm sure you've gone to a beach before, correct? You sound like a very well-educated man.
But they're not on TV. I don't see little girls on television at the beach all running up and down and all these guys.
Before. And you know how when you're swimming, how your swimsuit can move? Well, people wear bikinis all the time.
No.
I'm pretty sure those girls are way covered than that. And second off,
those girls, the bikini girls, I don't go to the beach to watch. No, these girls aren't wearing bikinis. They're wearing leotards.
Or it's a disqualification.
They're wearing a unit. What do you call it, a unitard or however?
Can't move, or it's a disqualification. Okay?
Yeah,
so
guess what? They move.
Are stuck. They have a stick tack on the back of them, on their butts, on their asses.
Well, they better get some better stick, because I don't want my daughter going on to no circus show like you are with the thing riding up the back.
Second off?
What? You got a problem?
Are you done?
No, I'm not done. Number two.
Well,
my daughter's leotard rides up the back while you're swinging on the rings at the circus. And I'm running out to get peanuts, and I say to my daughter, well, look at that girl there. I just talked to her on the radio the other day. She's out here, and everybody's throwing peanuts at her. No, ma'am, no, ma'am.
What are you talking about, man? Do you understand that there's Cirque du Soleil, all kinds of entertainments, they're not under the big top, and you're not running out and
That's
getting peanuts.
That's not what we have anymore.
Whatever. Well, whatever.
Because you're ignorant. Because you don't know what's out there, because you're obviously not very cultured. You haven't been around the world. Have you been to Europe? I would think not. But am I presuming? Maybe so.
What's to see in Europe? Why do I need to go there? I live in America. You ever heard of that?
There you go. Maybe you should travel around and look at different cultures and stop calling people apes from Congo.
Wait a minute. You want me to go to where? I
got to
go look at the circus?
Capital
circuses. Who? You know, if you go to Europe, I'll bet you do see a lot of circuses, because that's all they do for kicks.
Really? Chicks?
What are you laughing at?
Comeback you have? Comeback? Really? Chicks? Question mark?
Well, you're telling me, have I ever been to Europe? Have I ever been? Why would I want to go to Europe? I live in America.
You need to become more cultured. You need to open up to other things, because that's what the Olympics is about, bringing the world together and looking at some great athletes of the world. Whether they win or
not,
it's not
and their bare rear ends.
Seeing what they have trained for
their
all their lives.
All right. All right, I got to take a break, but I think you've been very closed-minded here, Steve, as you listen to one young athlete after the next telling you.
Mr. Henry, when I was a kid, I used to see a show on TV called International Showtime. It was a circus show. Guess where it was usually from? You got it. Europe.
That's good. I'm an American.
So what?
I don't care.
Yeah, so what? All right, thanks for your call, Lindsay. Appreciate it very much. Good phone call, and thanks for sharing your experience there. You know, under the big, not the big top, but being a acrobat. 877-8, is he on the line?
Yeah, Mr. Bozell. Mr. Bozell.
Yeah, hold on, bud. 877-876-7445. The female gymnast is what we're talking about, and whether their development is the muscle, is the training, the weight training too much? Are they too muscular? Are those leotards a little too stretched? 877-876-7445, the world famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL and Stephen Bozell with us from Corona, California. I do appreciate you being with us, sir, and I appreciate the problems of raising a child in this modern world. Sometimes we're a little bit overprotective, don't you think?
Well, yes, sir, I do. I do think sometimes we're overprotective, but I don't think this is the situation where I want my daughter to be protected, and she wants to be a gymnast. Everybody wants to be a gymnast. That's all anybody says when the Olympics comes around, and I have said to her, I said, honey, you've got to think a little more originally, because every time the Olympics comes on, every girl in America wants to be on a gymnastic team, and they all wind up looking, you know, ridiculous when they go out and swing around on a, you know, lady didn't want me to say on, look like, I didn't mean to say monkeys, but they're swinging around like they're on a vine and all that. And I mean, look, all I'm trying to say is,
everything you're saying about a vine and the Congo.
No, I didn't mean anything racial about it. What I'm trying to say is that.
Well, it sounds that way.
All I'm trying to say, Mr. Henry, if you listen to me instead of letting that one woman yell at me, and she's probably only 15.
No, she's a woman who says she said she supports a family.
Okay, you can still be 15 and have trust money. And
no, she was an Olympic, or she was a gymnast, and she went into performing on a as an acrobat. So I don't think you're listening very carefully. Let's take a phone call here, 877-876-7445, and go to Dominique. Dominique, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Stephen Bozell. Go ahead, please.
Okay. Hi, Mr. Steve. How are you doing?
Yes, ma'am. I thought I was doing better, but...
Well, I understand that you're a father. I understand what you're saying about your daughter and how you love your daughter. But do you really think it's acceptable to call every girl a freak? Do you
is that
something that you want your child to hear and to remember later on in life?
I didn't call my daughter that.
You didn't call your daughter that.
That's right.
You called other women that. You called girls that.
They're all muscled up.
And some of them don't understand. You know, some of them have never had that relationship with their father. That relationship with my father. And I
wouldn't
wish my father would have stood up for me.
Wouldn't you appreciate if your father would have told you?
Oh,
yes. You're muscled out.
I would definitely have appreciated my father standing up for me. But what I would not have accepted was to hear later on in life that my father had said something about so many girls who are trying to live their dreams. And yes, it's not.
Well, I don't know what kind of dream that is, wanting to swing around on the floor and everything.
Huh?
How come they want to be jumping and running? What kind of dream is that, to want to jump and flip and fall down? Yeah, that's really what it is, if you think about it. And
you just heard a woman say that she turned that into a professional career as an acrobat. And who cares if that's what the dream is?
Mr. Henry, there's one thing to have a dream. It's another thing to turn the TV on and go, oh, I want to be just like her because she's on a Wheaties box. See, that's what I'm saying. Didn't think of that, did you? Because she's on a Wheaties box, that's why a girl wants to do that. Jump and fall down.
That's what you think gymnastics is?
That's what it seems to be to me, yes, sir.
I don't think that is. I think everybody has the freedom to make their own choices and decisions, and you, as a father, should be guiding your daughter and encouraging her strength. You know,
until she turns 18, that child, I'm going to tell her, I want you to be a gymnastic person, but not with muscles on your arm that are wider than your neck. Have you seen some of them?
Oh yes,
the girls?
I have. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're
ripped. Concerned about her image, which is, you know, reasonable.
Physical image.
That's your job as a father, but you cannot crush her spirit, and you can't crush her dream.
So you pulled her out of this class.
Yes, I did, Mr. Andrew. Until I am able to satisfy myself as to whether or not they're going to make her arms thicker and wider than her thighs, and I got a girl that's walking down the street, she looks like something out of a Popeye cartoon. And you know what? You see what I'm saying? So
all right. You're really getting ridiculous now.
No, sir, I am not.
Yes, yeah. Well, I think so because I haven't seen anything like that. Dominique, thank you so much for your call. 877-876-7445. Here is Trey. I haven't seen anything even approaching that.
Okay. Well, you ain't watching the same thing I'm watching.
Trey, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, man, hey, I'm giving you guys a heads up. I am retired military, 14 years and actually 3 months, monthly retired, okay? And I lost my right arm in Afghanistan, okay, and I came out. And believe me, my daughter was watching the Olympics last night, and she wants to be a gymnast. She loves it, okay? I just want to be honest with you. Take pride in your country. Learn what things about life is all about with your kids. Support them. Support your kids, because believe me, I've been called a freak show, but the way I look, I had a shrapnel in my eye and my face. But, you know, to say that your child, they're a freak show, that's ridiculous, man. Take pride in
I love my country. I love my country, okay? But I think they got two good arms. Like, you lost your arm in service to the country. I'd like to see them do something with those two good arms instead of in honoring you, swinging around and playing on a you know, a jungle gym and all that kind of thing.
What? Oh. What does that mean, man?
It means that this gentleman here lost an arm in where'd you say you were, sir?
Afghanistan,
right?
Yeah.
Okay, you lose an arm. Now, I'd like to see these girls do something more in honor of you than going out on a swing set, you know, and going to the Olympics in the swing set event.
You know what?
Swing set event.
You know what? All you need the red, white, and blue, dude. That's it. That's all that matters.
I love it. I love it deeply. I love the red, white, and blue. I love the basketball. I love the track and field. Now, and I love the swimming and all that, but this jumping around and falling down on a mat, man, that's strictly from hunger, man. That's it.
All right, listen, Trey, thank you, and thank you for your service to the country, too, sir. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
You didn't give that man much time. It's like you blew him off.
Shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. It's another week and a right smack dab in the middle of summer. Beautiful. This is my favorite time of year. I love it, man. Now, where we live, as I mentioned, the El Pacifico here in the land of fog and sea lions, occasionally it gets kind of cool. What was it like today, bud?
A little cloudy today,
but it was a nice weekend, and hope you're having a good time wherever you are. Our number is 877-876-7445. We're online at philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. And a brand new podcast out today, episode 24. It is Doug Danger and this gay vision thing he was talking about not too long ago. That is our episode 24 podcast, and it is free. It's the free Phil Hendry podcast. You go to our homepage, you'll see our podcast banner. Hit that, bang, takes you to the free Phil Hendry podcast. And also a brand new addition to the archives on our website, the Lost Milwaukee Lions Archive. It was the play-by-play, some of the most bizarre play-by-play you've ever heard in your life, of a old football team called the Milwaukee Lions that we actually have on our site. Check it out. It's weird. 877-876-7445. In London right now, Margaret Gray, who's... I guess she's up a little late. Don't tell me, Margaret, it is, because I remember, is it in the morning there?
Yes, it's in the morning. Do you know what time?
It's after 7.
It is exactly after 7 o'clock, Bill, and I'm getting a very early coffee. I'm on my way over to one of the venues. I want to see some of, before they actually get into the competing, I want to get over to some of the track and field. So a bunch of us will get into the press bus, and we'll get over to that. But it's been a very interesting time so far, and I thought it was interesting listening to your caller about the gymnastics, because I do have some observations on that.
Well, we were talking about something a little bit different. We were talking about the training that some of the young ladies. Now, I know you saw the men, and don't give away what you know, because I know you're ahead of us, and a lot of us are watching it on tape right now.
No, I totally understand that, Phil. No, really, I was at the gymnastic venue, and I was watching some of the warming up, and I said to Bill Fleischer, who is one of the Olympic Committee members, and I also said it to Dean Ellum, who is a writer here, he's with the Denver Post, that you know, I heard what the other gentleman said. I don't have any criticism at all of those wonderful young ladies and what they are trying. And I agree 100% with your callers, Bill. It's a dream, and it's a dream that you want to see realized. And to that end, I'm very proud of them, and I love my country, so I don't have any problems there.
Okay.
And as I'm speaking to you, I can see the, because we're just outside of the NBC relay, their control room, and I can see the swimming, and I can tell you you're in for a, well, I better not say.
Yeah, don't let us know. Okay, don't let us know.
Well, I can tell you that there is some excitement.
All right.
Phil, but getting back to the gymnastics, I saw the men competing last evening, which you were watching earlier. And I'm a female reporter. Now, this is the crux of what I'm saying. I'm not saying I don't want them to do what they're doing. I am not saying I don't want them to enjoy what they're doing. I'm not saying I don't love my country, and I'm not saying that I don't love gymnastics. I do. But I'm a woman, Phil, and I've been tasked to report on the Olympics. Specifically, I've been tasked to report on the gymnastics, the men's gymnastics. And I ask you and I ask your listeners to please consider this. What I am asking to do, and I just saw the, did you see the Japanese one?
Yeah, I saw that.
It's exciting, not because I didn't want America to win, but I don't remember the Japanese winning a swimming event ever. So I think this does a lot for the Japanese program, and the notion that the Japanese are not able, you know, there's been an awful lot of talk, and I find it very racist, that Japanese are just not made to swim. So I think...
I've never heard that. I just saw, yes, the Japanese swimmer win. I've never heard that at all.
Well, we aren't going to hear any more of it. We just saw the Japanese win that heat. So I'm very, very happy for them. My point, Phil, that I want to make is that as a woman covering these events...
Now, but by the way, that was a semifinal that we just saw. So the Japanese, and they came, they got a little close to the world record, but they didn't win it.
That was not a medal round?
No, it was not a medal round.
All right, then I misspoke. I thought that was a big deal for them, but they didn't win anything, did they?
No, they didn't. It's a semifinal round. Let's not talk about whether Japanese are good swimming.
No. What are you saying?
I'm saying that the conversation tonight has gotten asinine. Not you, but with other callers. This other gentleman I had on the line talking about swinging from vines. I just don't want to go there.
No, Phil, I don't either. I'm saying to you that we just saw one of the Japanese win a semifinal. That puts to a lie the common held belief that Asians or Orientals, or whatever you want to call, aren't good at, you know, this traditional ridiculous notion of floating. That's all I'm saying.
I've never heard that before. I've heard a lot of racism when it comes to floating and swimming applied to a lot of different people, but I never heard it applied to the Asians.
Well, then, Phil, you need to be a reporter, because I have.
All right, let's get off of that and get back to what we're talking about. You're a woman. You're reporting on the men's gymnastics.
Yes, I am a female. I've got a husband and a son at home, Phil. And I have been asked to come out and cover the men's gymnastics, which I am very happy to do. In exchange for that, in exchange for the support that I give my country, in exchange for the loyalty that I show my country, and in exchange for my wanting to report this as fairly and as accurately as possible, I am hoping that the U.S. Olympic Committee and the other Olympic committees will show some decency in the floor exercises among the men in gymnastics. And I'm just not seeing that. And I know you'll want me to be specific.
Yes, I would. You're talking about decency.
I am talking about, again, I'm not saying anything is being done on purpose. And I think if there was any kind of redeeming quality to Mr. Bozell's conversation this evening, it's that he did say it wasn't on purpose. But when these men go into these floor exercises where they're lifting their legs behind their heads and the thighs, this is actually very, very insulting, and I don't see any point for it. And so that is... When we talk about...
All right, Margaret, I got to interrupt you here. You're talking about the floor exercises and gymnastics.
Yes, which have been completed, by the way, and you asked me not to say who won, and I won't.
Okay. But you're talking about the floor exercises. Be specific.
Well, I was told by Mr. Dickman not to be specific because he was afraid it would run afoul of decency.
I don't know what's going to run afoul of it, bud.
She's talking about the exercise that a guy does where his legs are going back.
Yeah, let me explain.
No, I want you to be specific, okay? Otherwise, I don't know what you're talking about.
There is a floor exercise where the gymnasts are putting, literally, they're putting their feet and their legs and their thighs behind their heads. It is obvious and it is crude. And I'd like them to replace...
That is a test of some kind of flexibility. And...
Well, Phil, it may be, and there's a lot of different ways of showing that. I'd like them to show a little bit of class. I'm a woman, all right? We don't...
No, I understand you're a woman, but you are there to report on a very traditional gymnastic exercise, a gymnastic pose or posture that has been around for a long time. And I would think you're expected to view it in that light.
I am a woman, and there are a great many women reporting on these things for the first time. Show some respect, that's all.
Well, what are you asking them to do? Because there are female reporters, and because this is the first...
Yes, because there are female reporters, and this is one of the first times that we've had full-time female reporters at the Olympics, we don't need to see these gymnastic exercises where a man is trying to get his crotch as close as he can to his mouth. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I understand that you are seeing this in entirely the wrong light. I understand...
Phil, I find that very judgmental.
You're judging them. You're taking an Olympic exercise...
No, Phil.
No, hold on. You're taking an Olympic exercise that is a long-standing, long-time Olympic exercise, and you are all of a sudden, because you're a woman, applying some kind of a lascivious standard to it. Now, you just heard the man tonight. You said that you understood that we were upset with him and you weren't going to go that far. Don't you think you're being as silly?
I most certainly do not think I'm being as silly. I'm very offended that you put me in the same light with that man.
You're saying that as a female reporter...
As a female reporter, as a woman, I don't want to see that kind of filth.
It's not viewed as filth by these athletes.
Well, they need to understand what they're doing.
All right, let's take a break. 877-876-7445. We also have the medal round tonight of gymnastics. We're watching also some medal competition, I believe, in swimming. No, this is not medal. This is quarterfinals or semifinals. We'll get you up to speed. Margaret Gray on the line with us. I want to ask her about some of this stuff. 877-876-7445. 877-876-Phil. We'll be right back here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil here on the line with me is Margaret Gray from London, and she has been covering some of the events for our radio show and other news outlets. Margaret, I know you saw the men's floor exercise, also some of the swimming. I just saw some of... I don't want you to give us any finals, okay?
I won't do that, Phil, but I just saw the International Tribune, some of the papers over here reporting already, and I know that this is reaching the United States. So I don't know how much of this you want me to keep secret.
I'd like you to just not mention anything about the results, if that's okay.
Well, that's fine, but I do want to emphasize something. The men tonight did not... Well, I don't know what you want me to tell you.
You can tell me what you find... If you're finding fault with the men's gymnastics...
I most certainly am finding fault with not just the U.S. men, though. I'm finding fault with all of the men. And the fault that I'm finding is that they're doing exercises that they are not mindful because of female reporters. They are not mindful that these exercises are in my opinion, and in the opinion of other women, offensive. And
well, okay, offensive. But you, so what I say to you, that these exercises, you said that an exercise they're doing where they're bringing their crotches close to their mouths, and you know, you're what you're doing is you're seeing this exercise in all of its lasciviousness, right?
No, I don't know what you mean by that. Are you saying I'm making something up?
No, you're not making up. Yeah, well, yeah, you're imagining something.
Phil, I am not imagining anything. I talked to Joanne Wainwright. I talked to Deanna Sherb. I talked to women, and I said, does that look to you like that man is trying to blank blank himself? And they laughed and said yes.
All right, they might have laughed and said yes, which I think is a rather childish conversation for you to have while you're over there reporting on the Olympics. But did they say that...
Excuse me, what did you say?
I said it's very childish.
Yeah, that... You know, I'm a professional reporter, Phil. You don't question my professionalism. You don't do that. I don't care if it's you. I don't care who it is. You don't do it. You just don't go there.
Well, I'm doing it, Margaret. If you're saying that you're looking at an exercise...
No. I'm not going to have it. I'm telling you what I saw.
Fine. All right. But if you're looking at these men performing these exercises in gymnastics and you're seeing a dirty thing...
I'm not even saying it's dirty. I'm saying I'm a woman and I don't want to look at that. Thank you very much. What about that? Don't you understand?
Here's what I'm trying to say to you.
No, but don't talk down to me like you're my father.
I'm not talking down to you. Here is what I'm saying. What I'm saying. I'm not saying that this is the truth. I'm saying... that this is what I'm thinking.
You know what I'd like? Can I say something?
You're not even going to let me finish.
Yes, but I just want to say one thing. What I need are women to back me up. What I need...
I doubt seriously if you're going to find that.
So now you're a woman, too. You really... The arrogance...
Margaret, what? You know, fine. I'm telling you that what you're seeing is a matter of perception. It's not a matter of what's actually going on.
Well, and that means what? That I don't know that I'm looking at a man shoving his own legs behind his head? I'd love for women out there to set you straight. That when we watch these floor exercises of these men, and they know that there are millions of women watching, and they take their feet and they stick them behind their heads, I don't...
You know what, Margaret? That's fine. You know, we'll open up the phone lines. I doubt seriously if you're going to find anybody that agrees with you. What I'm telling you is, it is a matter of perception.
Well, it may be a matter of perception to you. You're not a woman. You don't know that when I see that as a woman, I feel harassed. I feel as if no time has elapsed. I'm just asking for them to eliminate that one exercise. If they can't do it, that's fine. Then I'm going home. I am not...
Well, you know what? I thought the gymnastics are over.
I don't know what else is in store. Is all I'm saying. And you know something, Phil? As a means of protest, because I don't think you're really seeing my end of this, I'm going to tell you that China won the gold in the team all around. And I'm sorry. Are you getting angry?
Yes, I'm angry. Yes, I'm angry.
Well, you brought it on yourself.
How did I do that? By disagreeing with you?
Not by disagreeing with me. By insulting me and degrading me as a woman. And because of that, I'm telling you now, China won the all-around in gold in gymnastics.
And I asked you not to say anything. And now you're...
Yes, you did, but I didn't know I was going to come on your program. And here you essentially say, Margaret, when a man looks like he is trying to give himself a you-know-what, smile and enjoy it.
Well, I didn't say that.
Well, that's what... You know something? Yes, you did.
Okay, your perception... is this.
And you go, there you go again with your perception. So now I'm going to tell you, well...
You know what? I can hang up on you.
Yeah, you would.
It's very childish of you to come on here when I asked you not to say who won the gold medal in the men's all-around. I wanted that to be something that the people didn't have to hear on the radio, that they could go home and watch, because it's on right now.
I understand that, Phil. And for anyone out there that is upset with me for doing that, you've got Phil Henry to thank for that. I'm not saying that these men are doing anything other than getting a couple of laughs out of doing that exercise. And there are others, Phil. I think what Mr. Bozell had to say was ridiculous, but I think there are some things in the Olympic competition that can be cleaned up. As far as the swimming goes, let's move on to this. The men have taken...
Wait. Hold on. Are you going to give me the results of swimming? Because I won't abide that.
No, I am not.
I'm not going to have that on the air. You've already blown the gold medal in the men's all-around floor exercises gymnastics.
No, I didn't, Phil. You did.
Well, no, I won't accept that. I'm not going to have you do the same thing with the swimming.
I'm only going to say to you, Phil, that the men are wearing these black leotard-type swimsuits, and one or two of these guys have got them pulled all the way down. Very, very near to showing the cleft between the buttocks. That also is childish. So this has turned into an asinine display for men who are in their 20s, going on 13, to show their ass, to give these demonstrations of how far back their legs can, their ankles can go behind their heads, etc., etc. And I even read a comment by your friend there, Mr. Opie Anthony.
Opie and Anthony.
I'm sorry?
Opie and Anthony. It's not Opie Anthony.
Well, I read a comment where he was applauding these women for being able to do that. So I'm saying, if this is the kind of childishness that we're dealing with, then yes, I'm going home.
All right. Well, I'm just going to say this. You're seeing things that aren't there. But hold on for a minute. Let me finish. You're seeing things that aren't there. Your perception is off. And I haven't seen what you're saying in the swimming competition. They're pulling their leotard all the way down so you can see the cleft in their buttocks. 877-876-7445. I haven't seen anything in the men's floor exercise, any of the men's all-around gymnastics. Nothing that would say anything having to do with indecency. Margaret Gray is, once again, she's at the Olympics, and she's upset. And it might have something to do with her security clearance. So we'll find out about that when we come back. Our number is 877-876-7445, 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. Phil Henry Show.
877-876-7445. World famous Phil Henry Show. On the line with us here is Margaret Gray from the Olympic venue in London, or some of the venues. I know this right now you're having breakfast, Margaret, and you're talking about the men's gymnastics. You know, it's one thing to say that the exercises are offensive. It's another thing to say that they're doing it on purpose.
Well, what do you mean by that?
In other words, that they're trying to offend.
No, I don't think. I think they know, Phil, that there are a lot of female reporters, and that when they do certain exercises, like the one that I was mentioning, that they are, it's lascivious, and they get a laugh out of it. Because I was down near the training bench when one of the American gymnasts, I forget who, was on the floor, and he was executing this particular exercise. And he looked over at me, and he gave that smile as he pulled his ankles behind his head. So he's looking at me as if to say, watch this while I give myself a you-know-what. I feel, look, I'm not going to play any games. I'm not here to be some sort of an object of ridicule. I think it's offensive to all women. It's offensive to see a man trying to give himself, this is something that men joke about, and in the Olympics, it's really childish.
Well, I got to tell you, you haven't listened to a word I've said. You don't think that it's possible that they might be doing this as a result of just a lot of training?
I know it's because it's the training, but I think they also know that it's funny.
877-876-7445 on the line here is Margaret Gray as we talk about the Olympics and the training that goes into the Olympics and the exercises that some of these guys have got to conduct. Some of the exercises that they have to do, which are pretty strenuous, they take a lot of stretching, and a lot of this has to do with stretching, okay?
Yeah, I know it has to do with stretching, though. There's a lot of ways of stretching. There's the splits, there's all kinds of things. You don't have to shove your own
crotch so close to your...
Yeah, 877-876-7445. Let's go to San Diego. Dr. Sadler, go ahead, sir. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. How are you, sir?
Oh, hi, Phil. Margaret, it's Dr. Sadler. How are you?
I'm fine.
You probably, when you hear my name, you probably immediately get defensive because you think that I'm calling in.
Actually, no, I don't know who you are.
Well, yes, you do know who I am. We've spoken many times.
Well, no, I don't know who he is.
I think you've talked to him.
I don't care. I don't know who you are.
Well, I think you do know who I am. We've spoken.
No, I don't know who you are. Please take my word for it. I don't know who you are.
We have spoken. You don't remember talking to Dr. Jim Sadler? Yes, we have spoken. So?
Well, I don't recall. I don't doubt that we have spoken.
So I'm not very memorable. All right, well. You want to hit for the cycle tonight, don't you? Insult a gymnast who's trying to show his flexibility, and then insult me.
I'm not trying to insult you. I don't remember who you are.
Well, I'm a psychologist, Ms. Gray, which I know you do. You do know who I am. And
no, how many times do I have to tell this man?
You honestly don't remember him. I remember you talking to him.
Phil, I may have talked to him. I might have had a very involved conversation with him. But I don't remember. So I'm sorry if that offends you.
Well, I guess you do remember me because we had a conversation.
Well, all right, okay, yes, I do remember you.
Well, all right, she's trying to... You do remember me, even though you're saying that you remember me because you're trying to insult me.
No, I'm saying I remember you to get you to shut up and move on to a new topic.
You know, I called in to this program, Ms. Gray.
Like Dr. Sadler.
No, hold on, Phil, hold on. I called into this program tonight to see if I could help you with the problem that you're having. And
I'm not having a problem. Mr. Hendry thinks I'm having a problem. You may think I'm having a problem. I'm not having a problem. I'm not having a problem.
I'm sorry for our video viewers. We didn't have the audio on.
Oh, well, what is that?
What'd you say, Phil?
For our video viewers, we didn't have our audio on. Dr. Sadler has joined us, and I apologize.
You didn't have the audio on your video feed?
Yeah. Is that what you said?
Yeah, that's what I said. I had shut it down, and I didn't put it back on. I apologize.
Well,
can I start all over again?
If you want to. There's radio listeners that have heard the conversation. I don't know that you have to.
Well, I'm saying, Ms. Gray, you did speak with me.
No, I did not. I don't remember you, and that's just the way it's going to have to be.
Dr. Sadler, you got to just leave it there, because if she doesn't remember you, she doesn't remember you, and I don't know how you can, you know, make it any different.
Well, you know what she's doing? This is a very classic ploy that's used by narcissists. We know it in psychology. It's called, in fact, it has almost a gymnastic-sounding name. It's called the circle back. The circle back is when you are passively, aggressively, all right, attacking someone, in this case saying that she doesn't remember me, all right, while you're talking about men performing sex acts on themselves. So the circle back,
let me guess, is this something that you named?
I did. Are you sure?
You named this.
Yes, I did. All right, now I know that neither one of you knows what I'm talking about, and she just asked me if I named it to further insult me. What does that mean?
Well, you seem to be very familiar with the topic of what I'm talking about. That's number one. Number two,
Phil, you know I'm a weightlifter.
Yes.
All right. I have a lot of flexibility. I have affected all kinds of gymnastic moves. I've never in my life considered giving myself a you-know-what, just because I'm able to be that limber, okay?
To be that what?
Limber.
He said limber?
Limber.
I said limber.
Well, I know what you said. I know what it sounds like you said, and...
Limber, L-I-M-B-E-R.
Limber. Don't you hear too good? Limber.
You know, for a psychologist, you are really not very in control.
I am very much in control. And, you know, this is very classic passive-aggressive for a narcissist, Mr. Henry. What I'm saying, and then I'll let you go. Okay? Okay, Ms. Gray, are you there? Ms. Gray, are you there? See what she did? She hung up.
No, I'm here.
Then why didn't you say that you were there?
Why didn't you say you were there?
Just to hear him go ape.
So the passive-aggressive now turns to open hostility.
Wow. Is Margaret Gray still there?
Ms. Gray? Yeah.
See what I mean? Look at what a sick animal that was. Did you hear him? That's a man who needs his mommy. And I remember Vernon Dozier. He and I had a glass of white wine together once. And Vernon said to me, guys like that, there's nothing wrong with them other than the fact that they need their mama. I'm sorry, my voice cracked.
Yeah, you sounded like the Wicked Witch of the West there.
Oh, I did. So I'm making this really funny point, and all you hear is, oh, boy.
No, you're not making a very funny point. You mocked him. You made fun of him. You didn't listen to what he had to say. He's a psychologist. He could have helped you.
I don't need any help there, Sugar Ray. I don't need any help, Sherlock.
Sugar Ray?
That's right. I'm fine. The guy that needs help is the American gymnast that was trying to give himself a...
All right, well, are you leaving the venue?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I'm going to leave. I'm leaving the Olympics tomorrow morning, all right? I have one more event to go to.
Well, that's not very consistent of you. If you had a problem with what these guys did, and you had a problem with the swimmers pulling their pants down, then you'd leave today.
Well, I can't get a plane out of this godforsaken hole.
And you're talking about London, England.
Yes, I'm talking about London, England. By the way, I do have one other review that I want to mention. I heard that you and Jimmy Pardo were talking about it. And so I'm going to talk about it. Matt Lauer of NBC, you poor, poor man, to think that that was really the Queen jumping out of a helicopter.
He didn't think it was really the Queen. He was trying to be part of the show, and it failed miserably.
Oh, you better believe it.
Did she hang up?
Yeah.
You know something? That's the height of gall. The height of gall for her to be on this program talking all about these floor exercises. She runs that poor guy, Dr. Sadler, into the ground and then hangs up after she gets her Matt Lauer shot in. Nice going there, Margaret.
I told you, man, she don't do that.
Every freaking Olympics that woman covers, she's got a problem. All right, we're coming back to world famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445. Unreal.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and on the line was Margaret Gray. She's hung up on us. She was in London, and I guess she's on her way back here, right?
Yeah, she said, you know, if you're not going to take her serious.
No, I ain't taking her serious. She's got a problem. Every freaking Olympics, she's got a problem. She's calling up. The last time that we had her at the Olympics was that what was it, bud?
Get you over to Salt Lake City, and she thought a Greek guy was going to rape her.
There you go. That Greek guy was going to rape her. And she had reminded her of that guy she dated. And now here she is talking about the... that's the last Olympics we send her to, I'm telling you. 877-876-7445. Now, I know Frank Gray is at home and has been with Jason J. Delmonico throughout this entire episode with Margaret there at the Olympics. I guess you're used to her being... Frank, are you used to her being on the road?
Oh, yeah. You know, she's always, traveling with me. Anytime I go to the office, while her mother is in London.
Wait, you're talking about your son?
Yeah, I'm talking about Jason J. Delmonico. She'll travel with me to the office and...
No, I mean Margaret. Are you used to, when she goes away?
Oh, wow. When Margaret goes away, we're a couple of guys that are just hunkered down. I make her breakfast, and sometimes she'll make me breakfast, but I take Jason J. Delmonico to the office with me in the summertime, you know. But, you know, she wants to be with her friends, too.
No, I'm talking about Margaret now.
What about him? I'm telling you what I'm doing with my son. And
I understand. Okay, but so, all right, so do you ever worry about Margaret?
I don't worry about him. He can take care of himself, you know. It's me being a father to my son. This is a great time, you know, Phil, for me to be with her because otherwise, you know, she's with her mother, and when Margaret gets here, all he wants to do is mollycoddle the boy, and I feel that if I can take her with me to the office and teach her about being a man, then she won't have to be under the wing of her mother, you know, and all the things that he's going to do to her.
You know, Frank, I got to tell you, every time anybody says to you that you've got this gender confusion, you don't know what they're talking about.
Well, I don't know what they're talking about. I get sick and tired of hearing about it. What are you talking about?
I'm talking about how every time you refer to a man, you call him her. Every time you refer to a woman, you call him him.
Yeah, sure. Boy, you really ought to go to a doctor. You know?
No, you ought to go to the doctor because I'm not the only one hearing this.
And don't raise your voice. I got the name of a good doctor, okay? She's fantastic.
Really? What's his name?
I said she's fantastic. She's a lesbian.
Oh, that's right. He only calls females the right term when...
What are you babbling about?
Nothing. All right, well, it's very nice to know that you're a good father to your son, and thank you very much, Frank.
Okay, here you go. So now you're blowing off the nut, huh? Just because I said that I've got a lesbian doctor that you...
Thanks a lot. Get out of here.
Man, that thing is confusing.
You got that right. All right, so Margaret blew the whole gymnastics thing that was of the Chinese. A couple of reminders here. The Chinese won the all-around, you know, so...
Who cares?
Well, I just thought, you know, I wanted to keep it a secret, and I didn't know that she was going to go just blow the freaking information like that. Let's see what else we got going on here, man. As far as the Olympics go, I ain't going to say nothing. In fact, as a matter of fact, we've done enough reporting on the Olympics, although... Here is the USA Today's coverage of NBC's Monday Night Olympics. Now, this is from 27 minutes ago. Usually women's gymnastics, this is USA Today's coverage of NBC's Olympic coverage. Usually women's gymnastics and swimming, especially when U.S. swimmers are going for gold, are the biggest U.S. Olympic TV draws. NBC presumably didn't script the action held for its primetime coverage tonight, but it may well have. The U.S. women gymnasts have already sparked controversy, and Michael Phelps is going for his 18th Olympic medal. In a live blog of NBC's primetime coverage, I'll try to keep from somehow finding out what happened in today's already completed Olympic action. Well, I just told you, man, the men won the all-around, and I don't know whether Phelps won or not. As Bob Costas previews what's coming up on primetime and implies all this stuff has already happened, we can at least give him this. At least NBC hasn't pretended that this action, since it's after 1 a.m. in London, is happening live, although coverage is live to tape, meaning it's meant to sound live. The supply of divers from China is endless, says NBC's... Oh, look it, guys. What difference does it make, you know?
Well, I mean, if they're going to pretend like it's live...
You know, I remember... Let me just tell you this much, man. I don't care what they do. It doesn't make any difference to me. They can go ahead and report on what happened. That's what they're supposed to do, you know? I don't like it when these guys that are supposedly reporters are all of a sudden a part of the show. That's the part that bothers me.
What do you mean?
What I mean is this, man. We're not watching American Gladiator or Survivor. We're watching the Olympics, which means that this is a real-time event that should be covered objectively by the reporters that are there to report it. It doesn't mean that Matt Lauer goes, oh, wow, Queen Elizabeth is jumping out of a helicopter. Oh,
maybe he thought it was Queen Elizabeth.
There's no, he didn't know. He didn't think it was Queen Elizabeth. He was doing that for the show. So act like a reporter and report, man. You're not going to be sitting. I know that NBC's probably worried sick that unless they put on a good show, they're not going to get the rights to the next Olympic Games. It's an insult. It's an insult. Just be reporters, you know. Now, as far as the stuff that's happening, if you don't want people to know that this has already happened, then just have Bob Costas reporting on it live as it's happening so he won't have to pretend that it already happened.
Yeah, but what about stuff that's happening right then?
What about the stuff that's happening right then? What do you? I don't understand. What do you mean?
Well, like, if he's not live, or yeah, let's see, he's on the tape the same time that the swimming is.
Okay.
But there's something going on right now that we should know about.
There's something going on right now that we should know about. What if there's something going on right now that we should know about? They should televise it.
But they can't.
Why not?
Because there's the swimming's on.
No. Listen to me, will you? If Bob Costas is doing the studio garbage that he does, and he doesn't want to pretend like, you know, it's already, he doesn't want to pretend that it has already, it hasn't already happened, that it's actually, because that's what he's having to do, right?
I don't know, I lost you.
Me too.
All right. Bob Costas is in the studio, and Bob Costas is live, our time. He's not our time, but he's live. That means that the events that he's going to show have already happened, and most likely he already knows the results. But he's got to pretend like he doesn't know the results, and he's got to make it seem like it's really cool. The way to do that is not to have him pretend. The way to do that is to have him be there at that moment. So everything's on tape, including Bob Costas.
Yeah, but what about stuff that's going on now?
Like I said, if there's something going on now that really needs our attention, then show it.
What about Bob Costas?
Screw Bob Costas. You don't need him for that. You got a live event that's happening right now. You have those guys do that. And then we'll take it back to Bob Costas. They don't have to refer to the thing that already happened.
What?
Whatever it is, man. You understand what I'm saying? Let's say the swimming is happening right this moment, but the gymnastics already happened. So Bob Costas, they're saying, all right, the gymnastics, and let's see who's going to win. I really don't know because I'm live right now. And then it turns out that the swimming's happening right now. Then you go to another host who's live. And that guy goes, and here's the swimming.
Yeah, but what if doesn't he want to tell you about gymnastics?
Why should he have to tell you about the gymnastics? He's reporting on the swimming. And now back to Bob Costas, who's on tape. You could say that if you want to.
I don't know, man. It's kind of weird. How are they going to figure that out? There's a lot of stuff to keep track of.
Oh, well, they don't know anything about keeping track of stuff. They're in television. That's way beyond their ability. That's all they ever do in TV, is keep track of crap. This, that, something else. This little girl's crying. Did they win?
I don't know.
One of the girls is crying. I guess she won the gold medal or something. I don't know what the hell happened. All right, so that's my solution to that problem, and we'll have more we'll have more solutions to other problems coming up next hour. 877-876-7445, The Phil Hendry Show. We also have our news and information ahead, news and information hour ahead. Don't forget a backstage pass to our website. Gives you unlimited access to all of this marvelous stuff. You can watch our video cast nightly. You can listen to our podcast every day. You can listen to thousands of hours of archived material every day. You can check out our comment feed. You can, you'll be busy for days, months, years with a backstage pass. And we have episode 24 of the free Phil Hendry podcast that's out right now. Check that out by hitting our podcast banner on the homepage. World famous Phil Hendry Show will be right back with our news and information hour after this.
I don't remember the man at all. Come on, you remember me. No, I don't remember you.
Phil Hendry.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, the El Pacifico, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch. We're here for the duration. What does that mean? I don't know. Well, we're here. We're here until the end of time. Welcome back to the program, and this is our news and information hour, so Bud and Robert will be commenting with me on a variety of topics. Most of it real stupid, but we do our best. All us cows do our best for Jersey Made, which I know you guys don't remember that, do you?
Oh, what is that?
That was an old commercial, man. All us cows do our best for Jersey Made. I'm at that point in my life now where I'm going to be making cultural references that, you know, are already, I've already been making old ones, but now they're going to be completely gone. You know, you won't get any. I'm like Jim Murray and the final, well, never mind.
Who's he?
Well, there you go. Although, again, I want to mention being on Jimmy Pardo's great podcast, Never Not Funny. Yeah, thank you. Which means I'm never not funny, I guess. But no, Jimmy was great, and the crew was great, and everything was great, and his show is, his podcast is a killer, man, and it's one of the top downloaded podcasts of all time. He gets a lot of downloads.
But is he like in the top, what do you mean?
He gets a lot of downloads, is all I know. He's got a lot of subscribers, so he rocks the world, man, with what he got. Speaking of podcasts, we do have the free Phil Hendry podcast, which you're welcome to download. It's available at our website. Go to philhendryshow.com and check out the free Phil Hendry podcast banner. You'll see it says, here's our new podcast, and just go to that. All right. I got out the New York Times front page because I was going to see what there was to see. I thought I'd go to 1984. As you know, every night we take a look at the front page of the New York Times sometime around this date. And it is the 31st. Is that our date today, the 31st? It is now the 31st, which makes tomorrow the 1st, which doesn't mean anything really other than that isn't that interesting.
Well, not really.
Well, it is sort of, because I thought I'd go back to 1984 because there was a lot of stuff happening. It was an Olympic year, same as this one is. And here we go. 31st of July. And there was not only an Olympics going on, there was a presidential series of presidential, the two presidential conventions, and it's the same thing is happening now. So we're talking 28 years ago. And 28 years ago, it was, in point of fact, the, as I say, the Olympics and a political season with the convention. So on the 31st, and let me just, there it is right there. You see it on our homepage. And I'll try to get this so you can see the entire homepage. On the 31st, the El Salvador was in the news. The EPA was in the news offering tighter curbs on gasoline, on leaded gasoline. And look, here it is. U.S. swimmers win two more gold. The United States' success in the games of the 23rd Olympiad continued today. This is 1984. Today, with two more gold medals in swimming and one in...
Aborting.
What do you mean aborting?
Where'd you see that, man? That's what it looks like.
Shooting, you idiot.
Well, I didn't think it was an Olympic event.
Yeah. No, it's not Olympic aborting. Shooting. In swimming, Mary Waite of Mercer Island, Washington, won the women's 200-meter freestyle, and the men's 800-meter freestyle relay team captured a spectacular final from West Germany by 0.04 seconds, no more than 3 inches. World records were broken in the three men's finals. Woo! Michael Gross, the 6'7", I remember that guy.
Who's he?
He's 6'7". I remember this guy. He was a West German back when there was still a Western and Eastern Germany.
They call it East Germany, though. I didn't say Eastern Germany.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Thanks a lot, bud. It was East Germany, folks, not Eastern Germany. You're right.
Well, that's Southern Carolina.
No, I know that, man. Don't worry about it. I got it covered, okay?
That is Southern California.
Yeah, it is Southern California. That's not a state, though, yet.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Well, just because you didn't think about it.
I thought about it. I didn't think I had to point it out. I didn't think I had to point... You're right. South Carolina, East Germany, Southern California. It's not a state yet. I guess if they make Southern California a state, we'll be South California.
But I don't think so. People get it mixed up with South Carolina.
Hardly. In any event, Michael Gross, the 6'7" West German superstar, continued his heroics on Sunday night when Olympic competition began. He won the 200-meter freestyle in world record time. Tonight he won the 100-meter butterfly, a race he dislikes by a foot from the favored Pablo Morales of Santa Clara, California. So Gross beat the American Pablo Morales. On a day, the United States stretched its leading medal total to 15, including 9 gold and 5 silvers. The 84 Olympics were interesting because the Russians were not in that Olympic game. And the Russians were not in that Olympic Games because we boycotted the 1980 Games in Moscow.
Why?
We boycotted the 1980 Games in Moscow because we were protesting I've got to take that hat off, man. I'm burning up. We were protesting the Russian invasion of Afghanistan. All right, so the Russians got us back, and I don't know why Carter didn't think of this, because when we boycotted the Russian games, all of a sudden everybody went, wait a second, you know what's happening in 4 years? What, we have the Olympics in 4 years, so goodbye Russia, you know. And the excuse the Russians gave...
we didn't invade no country.
Well, the excuse they gave was that they couldn't be sure of security. You got to understand something. In 1984, and I am not... I don't think it was a good excuse. And I'm not saying anything other than that we had a crime situation in Los Angeles in the early 80s that was not good. We had gang warfare was about to peak in this city. It wouldn't be too much later than 1984 that the movie Colors came out, which was basically a movie about the rivalry, gang rivalry in Los Angeles and about two police officers dealing with it. It was kind of a tabloidy film. But it was a movie that was the first movie at that time that dealt with the gang problem. There was a lot of gang activity. There were a lot of gang murders. They inflated the murder totals. And when I say inflated, they are murders. But they're not the kinds of murders that you think of when you're thinking of, you know, is the public at large necessarily in danger? Although, these gangbangers were so stupid and such bad shots that, as you well know, a great many innocent bystanders were hurt. Just like the gangs in the 30s and the 20s. But the point I'm making here is that gang activity along that corridor, because when you get on the Harbor Freeway and you're on your way to the Coliseum or to the sports arena, whatever it may be, you are going through South Central Los Angeles, which at the time was notorious for gang activity. The Russians said, we can't be sure of the safety of our athletes. We don't think you guys can guarantee the safety of our athletes or even close. We're not about to take that chance. We are boycotting. So it was an attempt to give us a little bit of a black eye. I don't think anybody bought it. What everybody to a person believed, even the Chinese showed up.
Yeah, the Chinese are commie too.
The Chinese are commie too, yeah. This is back when Russia was commie. They ain't commie no more. Anyway, the Chinese showed up. And I think the Chinese showed up knowing this is going to be beautiful. I think we got a real shot here to take down some serious metals because the Russians won't be there and the Americans were competitive with. I think the Chinese wound up winning. They did good. They didn't do as good as probably they thought they would. I think they thought they were going to stomp our ass, and they did not. We kicked their ass. But they were very good at swimming. I believe their high dive team was outstanding. Their gymnastics team, as always, was great.
You said you got yours in China. You seen little kids.
Oh, yeah, yeah. When I went to China, I was in China, in fact, in 82. I was in China like 2 years before the Olympics. And I remember seeing one of their gymnastics classes. We were someplace, I don't know what the hell, and they took us to this place where there were kids, little kids, man. I'm talking about 5 and 6 year old little girls and little boys. And, man, they're, all you saw are these little tiny kids just flying through the air. You know,
like a little kid doing flips and stuff?
Yeah. Yeah, they were. They were little tiny six-year-old kids just, woo, flying and flipping and twirling and all. Just the air was filled with little kids, you know.
What do you mean?
Doing gymnastics. What do you think I mean?
Well, it sounds kind of weird.
Yeah, it sounds weird. It looked weird. As soon as I walked through the door, I'm just seeing little kids, woo, 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 woo. Those are the Chinese, man. That gymnastics.
Yeah, I think the Chinese people are more, they got flexibility and stuff.
Let's not go down that road. Do you mind? Do you mind terribly?
Well.
No, not well. Every time we talk about somebody, well, they must be good swimmers. Oh, they must really be bad. They used to see the Japanese were bad at flying because they didn't have any, because their peripheral vision was crappy because of their slanted eyes. All kinds of stupid stuff.
Yeah, what about black people can't swim? Yeah, they can. Hey, I'm going to kick his ass.
Hey, bud, I hate to break the news to you, man. It's like 2012, and there's a couple of black members of our swim team in the Olympics, so...
I didn't say I believed it.
Yeah. Anyway, all that stuff, you know, there are reasons people are good at things that have nothing to do with race. Do you understand? There are cultural traditions. There are ways that people are raised. There are economic barriers that force people into other activities. This is why people, certain peoples become, or certain nationalities or certain countries become good at certain sports. You know, we talk about this whole idea that black people are not good swimmers because of something genetic. It's got nothing to do with that. It has to do with the fact that in the black community, swimming was considered for a long time, not all over the black, some areas, swimming was considered to be a sport as opposed to a survival technique. There were also not as many pools in some parts of the city. And the same thing holds for sports in general. I'm not going to go through the same speech. You guys have heard it.
Okay, so how come the Chinese are in the gymnastics?
Well, one of the things is it's not an expensive sport, man. Look at what the Chinese are good at. Basketball. They're good at gymnastics.
They don't play football.
Football is an expensive sport. I mean, I don't know where we get off thinking that American football is ever going to really catch on until countries can afford it. It's an expensive sport. It's a big squad. The equipment is all kinds of equipment. You've got two squads. You got basically a 45-man team. You need doctors. You need chiropractors. You need tape to wrap guys. You need all kinds of, you need trainers. You need, it's a really, you know, it's a typically American sport. It takes a whole lot of, there's a lot of overhead involved in football. Baseball is not too far behind. Hockey, but basketball is an inexpensive sport. If you look at a country like China that was digging itself out of decades, if not centuries, of poverty on the part of most of the people over there, you know, they don't have all kinds of money to throw around on sports like that. Basketball is a cheap sport. All you need is a pair of shorts, a ball, and a goal, man. You know?
Yeah, you know how many guys on a team?
What are there, 14, 13 guys?
13 guys.
So you got 13 guys on a team, a basketball, and a hoop. Big deal. Same thing with gymnastics. What do you need, man, to get a little kid to go flipping around on a mat? You need a mat, maybe some rings, some powder. Boom. So when you're looking at countries that want to impress, especially in the Olympics, and they don't have all the money, or maybe they just don't want to, they haven't traditionally, you know.
Yeah, the Chinese, man, they got all kinds of money now.
The Chinese now have money. But the Chinese, we got to take a break, man, okay? I'm just saying, traditionally, the Chinese didn't have the kind of money, so they got good at gymnastics. We'll be right back here. World famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445. Our news and information hour. Look at
truth
that. I'm late, man.
Is our bitch.
There's
the Phil Henry
though.
Show.
Thanks, Missouri. You're welcome.
This is the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445. Lots of stuff going on in the news as of, like, today. And maybe we should be covering some of that other than the Olympic news. One of the challenges to same-sex marriage, I don't know, man. You know.
Yeah, you got a report on it, man.
Yeah, I know you got a report on it, but the conversation is getting just either you get it or you don't. I mean, and that argument goes both ways. You know, in other words, people that are opposed to same-sex marriage, they're probably thinking the same thing. Either you understand or you don't. And the people that are in support of same-sex marriage, myself being one of them, we think the same thing. Either you're going to get it or you don't. Either you understand or you don't. So I just don't know, although I can tell you this. In just the last, I don't know, in just the last 10 years, man, since the first time, like, the state of California voted on this, and it was overwhelmingly, I forget what it was, a defense of marriage, it was some kind of a referendum, and California went overwhelmingly in favor of heterosexual marriage and against gay marriage, and it's come almost 180 degrees the opposite direction in the last 10 years, that the voter sentiments and attitudes have changed in this state. And I've seen that happen across the board. So, you know, somebody messaged me on Twitter and said, how come you're always talking about gay marriage? Nobody cares. And I like, how do you talk to an idiot like this? Yes, people do care, man. They may not care where you live, but they do care. Now, when you say nobody cares, are you telling me it's because you don't favor it, or you do, but we shouldn't talk? What are you talking about? And I finally came to the conclusion, that's a guy that's opposed to it and is sick of hearing about it. Well, I understand your pain, sir, because I'm in favor of it, and I'm sick of hearing about heterosexual marriage and marriages for straight people. Anyway, First Ward Alderman Proco Joe Marino's attempt to keep a fast food chain out of his Northwest Side ward because its company's boss opposes gay marriage is so patently unconstitutional that it hardly merits discussion. This, according to Dennis Byrne, writing in the Chicago Tribune. But ignoring this stunning assault on two First Amendment rights gives it undeserved credence. By trying to block a Chick-fil-A restaurant from locating in his ward because of company president Dan Cathy's biblical view against same-sex marriage, Marino is subjecting the chain to an unconstitutional government test of religion. Marino also would use the power of government to shut down Cathy's free speech rights, punishing him economically for speaking his mind. Because his efforts to blackball Chick-fil-A have no legal basis, Marino eventually might have to find an alternative but equally specious excuse to please narrow-minded constituents who think that government's business is to bushwhack selected Americans. But any attempt to justify the action by zoning, traffic, or the diversions will be recognized by the courts for the deception that it is. Now, this was a very interesting, editorial, because I think the guy's right. I think he's absolutely right. Trying to punish a business with laws by zoning or otherwise legal machination is unconstitutional. It's un-American. The man has an opinion. Mr. Cathy has an opinion. You may agree. You may not. If you don't agree, you don't have any right to pass a law to say you don't have the right kind of opinion. The owner of your company, so your company can't locate here. So that is wrong. But then it's also wrong to legislate against people who hold opposing views.
Well, nobody's going to do that.
Really? Well, there's laws against gay people being married.
No, but that what do you mean opposing views?
If a guy's gay and he feels like he has the right to be married and it's legally prescribed from doing that, don't you think a law has been passed to keep that guy from having the same rights as everybody else? Don't you think that's un-American? That's un-American, too. I don't support what this jackass wants to do in Chicago any more than the man who wrote the article does. I don't support some guy saying, hey, your views on gay rights are not cool. You don't support gay people. You don't support the right to marriage. So I'm going to keep your Chick-fil-A restaurant out of here. That sucks. But it also equally sucks to say, hey, you're gay. You don't get to be married. Isn't that denying somebody their rights? Isn't that denying somebody a constitutional right?
Yeah, they haven't figured out a constitutional yet.
Well, you may say that they haven't figured out it's constitutional yet, but in state after state after state, that's exactly what they're doing. So anyway, I ain't gonna be opposed to what this cat says. He's right, man, and it's a really stupid thing to do, you clown. To say, just because that guy at Chick-fil-A has got his head up his ass, hey, look, you know, you heard what Ted Bell said. Ted's one of these guys that is simply trying to get more business for his steakhouse by saying, hey, we support gay people and we love gay people. They can come in and have a steak on me. I wonder what kind of business he did.
Well, I'll call him up, man. Bet you he'd give away a lot of steak dinners.
Probably. But I don't know whether Ted's motives were all that pure. I think he just wanted to get a lot of play for his steakhouse. That he went even further. He said, not only am I supporting gay rights, not only am I giving away free steak dinners to gay people, but Chick-fil-A tastes like tastes like somebody's sock. Yeah, I mean, he was going on to say it tastes like lepers prepare it. I mean, real bad stuff. So that's not exactly...
Yeah, but that's just a personal opinion. He didn't say that they do.
Well, dude, you know, it's a very short leap from lepers prepare it to it's taste like they do. All right, we'll be back. A glance at a trial of feminist anti-Putin rockers. This just looks like a really interesting article that I'm going to read to you guys. When we come back here on the world, feminist anti-Putin rockers. Maybe it's got nothing to do with Russia. Maybe it's some other kind of Putin. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Henry. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
So
there?
Yeah.
See, we're looking at those front pages of the New York Times, and we'll get to the Putin rocker thing, but there was one there. We just went to September the 2nd of 1972, because I wanted to go to these Olympic years that I have a vivid memory. 72 is obviously the Munich Olympics. It was terrible. But I was working in construction at the time in September of 1972. I didn't get into radio until May of 73. So it would be, wow, really?
You're only a few months away.
God, man, I went from being a construction laborer to a disc jockey within 8 months. Anyway, and we were out doing a job. I'll never forget this place because it's also a place where some guy I knew, one of the guys cut his leg up with a freaking skill saw, the idiot.
You kidding me?
No, this guy was stupid. He was sawing a 2x4 and it bounced off his leg. And I remember saying, "Hey, Howard," that was his name. And he looked down. It had split this guy's thigh open, this skill saw, because he was being stupid with the skill saw. And he's lucky he didn't die, man, because that could have gotten an artery or something. Another thing that happened on this job was kind of interesting. A little piece of Americana that day. And really, there was a whole week where Bobby Fischer was playing Boris Spassky in chess. It's the one and only time, I think, ever, maybe, in American history where a cement truck driver would pull up and update guys that are building a house on the, on a chess match. Because that's what was happening. Every guy that pulled in with cement, we go,
yeah, you don't expect a guy like that.
No, you would not expect a guy driving a truck full of mud to be following the chess match. But that was how big it was. It was a huge event, man. It was Cold War stuff. And for young people today, people who were not around really to know what the Cold War was about, which was the Soviet Union, the communist system versus America and the system of freedom and capitalism and all that jazz, it was like everything was big. Every time we went up against those guys for any reason, basketball, the Canadians versus the, oh my God, that Team Canada thing?
What's that?
That was when the Canadians went up against the Russians in hockey. That was just bloody. It was bloody. I mean, it was downright, I don't know how to put it. It was dirty, man. They played, the Canadians admit they played dirty. Because what happened was they played 8 games. They played 4 in Canada and they played 4 in Russia. They played 4 games across Canada, and the 4 they played in Russia, they played all of them in Moscow. The Canadians played horrible here, I should say here, in Canada. I think when they left to go to Russia, it was 2 wins for the Russians, 1 win for the Canadians, and there was 1 tie. And it just, they were pissed, and they were taking all kinds of crap from everybody across Canada, because this is Canada's national sport, right?
Yeah, what about America and everything?
Well, America, we were following it too, because so many of these guys were professional players. Bobby Clark was with the Philadelphia Flyers. All kinds of guys. Phil Esposito played with Chicago. So these were all players that we knew, and they played the NHL. Now what happens is the Canadian players are humiliated and they're pissed off because they said, and even Bobby Esposito went on TV. He said, look, we're doing, he addressed the Canadian public and, by extension, the North American public. He said, we're doing the best we can. You don't understand. These guys are good. See, what happened was, the Canadians thought, we're going to go in there, we're going to kick their, this is going to be ugly. You better hide the children and get the women and the daughters, because it's bad. It's going to be bad. We're going to, there'll be blood. You won't believe it. This will be over fast. Well, the Russians came out there with their speed and skill game, which, frankly, the NHL hadn't seen. So there was only one thing they could do. They played NHL hockey, which meant take the game off of the ice and put it up against the boards. That meant every time you got to force the puck up against the boards and make the Russians come and fight for it. And it worked. But the Canadians would tell you, we weren't even in shape, man. We were like, it was unbelievable. These guys are skating and stick handling and moving and grooving and all this stuff, and we weren't even in shape. I mean, we were out of freaking breath, man. Some of us were smokers, I mean, this was the kind of a North American game. So what they did is, they pushed the game up against the boards, and they started getting physical. And the Russians didn't know how to play that game. And the cats like Esposito and other players, the physical players, I don't know if Esposito was a physical player. I don't know that much about him. But
there were some guys getting their asses beat. The Russians were getting beat up pretty good. The Russian coach was going to pull them off the ice, and the referee said, well, you can do that, but you're going to forfeit the game. He says, well, what are they doing? He says, they're playing. There's nothing that they're doing that's against the rules. You understand it's very physical, but, you know, you got to hit a man when he's facing you, and you can't use the elbow, and everything the Canadians were doing was very much within the rules, but it was very, very physical. All right. So the Russians had no choice but to turn around and do the same thing. And by the time the games got to Russia, it was very, very funny, the Russians had begun to play this, you know, physical game. They turned around and squared off. They dropped the gloves. They started swinging. It just so happens, just as an aside, the Canadians went over there with 400 cases of beer. I'm telling you the truth. This is a true story.
Yeah, you told me about it. They got it stolen?
Yes. They went over with 400 cases of beer, and they got 300 cases stolen. And they were even very vocal about it. They were on TV saying, hey, we came over here.
No, they didn't.
I swear to God, they did. They said, we came over here with 400 cases. I forget what it was. Yeah, 400 cases of beer. We have 400. Could it be that much?
That's a lot of beer.
I think it was. They said, we came over with 400 cases of beer, and 300 are gone, man. And we want to know where our beer went. Because they couldn't get anything in Russia, and they knew they wouldn't be able to get anything in Russia. So they came over with a lot of stuff. They also came over with the wives. The Russians said, no, wait a minute. You can't come over with the wives. And the Canadians said, bull crap, you said we could. You said we could bring wives. So,
what do they want to do that for?
Well, that's a good question. You know what? They're fighting for, well, anyway, no offense to the wives or anything, but why would guys, anyway,
yeah, that's a perfect chance. Well, they were going to Russia.
Well, there's your answer. Yeah. Anyway, that's a bad thing to say. Now they go to Russia. They're down 2-1 tie, and they wound up, I believe, winning the next four. I mean, they kicked ass. The Canadians kicked ass once they got over there. And they said, you know what, we didn't care. We dialed the crowd out, and we knew that we were being followed, and we knew that they were tapping our phones, and we knew all that stuff. And again, it was kind of funny to us. We had our, you know, we really had our focus on, and we just went down onto the, and we just, you know, played our game. But here's the thing. Bobby Clark knocked out their best scorer with a blatant, illegal, he admits to it to this day. It was a hacking penalty. He got penalized, but basically what he did is he busted the guy's ankle.
What was this? He hit a guy with a stick?
He hit a guy. He hit with the Russian's number one scorer. I forget the guy's name. Clark was chasing him down. This guy was on his way to a winning goal, which I think might have been the difference in maybe the pivotal. I don't think they won the next four. Whatever they did is they won it by a game. So this guy is on a breakaway, and Clark skated up right behind him with a stick and just basically slashed this guy's ankle, busting it, knocked him out.
Well, that's what won it.
Yeah, that guy was gone. He was out. And to this day, the Russian players that were there said, that's what did it. You know, he did it. He knocked our guy out. And it was illegal, but, you know, and Clark even has been interviewed, and I think he said something along the lines of, well, you know, it's things happen, but it was, he's pretty much as much admitted it, you know. But I got to hand it to the Canadians from this. No way were they going to lose. No way were they going to lose.
Yeah, it's the national sport of Canada, that and curling.
That and curling.
Yeah.
Well, there was just no way they were going to lose, and there was no, after they got humiliated in front of their own fans here, losing two of the four games, they went over there and they, I think they said, and I think later interviews, they said, we can't let them beat us. We can't let them, whatever we got to do, we're going to have to do. And that means if we got to kill somebody, you know, so it was pretty interesting, man. But that's Cold War. That was the Cold War sports. That's why back then the Olympics were cool, because it was like, man, it was some serious stuff. People were just like when the U.S. beat...
what about the time in hockey?
Yeah, when the USA beat Russia in hockey. All right, now let's go to the modern day, and here we have this anti-Putin rocker thing. Three female feminist rockers rejected charges of hooliganism. This is an actual crime, folks.
What is it?
Hooliganism is something that they only know in countries that play soccer. It's just hooligan when you hooligan.
Yeah, but what is that, like beat somebody up?
Kind of. It's sloppy, violent social behavior, wearing a leather jacket. I don't know. Anyway, three Russian feminist rockers rejected... What do you mean feminist rockers? Rejected charges of hooliganism for performing a punk prayer in Moscow's main cathedral against Vladimir Putin's return as president. As a trial against them opened in earnest on Monday, the charges could carry a punishment up to 7 years in prison. Oh, look at this, man.
Well, man, that's like communism.
Yeah. The three members of the Pussy Riot Band, that's the name of the band. I'd pronounce their last names, but I can't. Samutsevic, Alekina, Tolokonikova, Alekina, and Samutsevich have been in custody for 5 months since their February stunt. So they did a punk prayer in Moscow's cathedral, and they've been in jail for 5 months. Now, you know, you can go to jail for doing stuff in churches here in America, but, man, you 5 months? Their prosecution has caused a sharp public divide and draws protests from rights groups who have declared them prisoners of conscience. The trial began on July 20th, but the first sessions were devoted to procedural issues. On Monday, with the court turning to the substance of the case, Tolokonikova and other defendants said in statements read by their lawyer that their goal was to express their resentment over Russian Orthodox Church Patriarch Kirill's support for Putin's rule. Aha!
Kind of like when the ACT UP people went on the church on account of the gays.
Yeah, kind of. It's like when ACT UP went into the churches. Yeah, I don't know. To me, churches are like, they should be really, well, sacred, you know.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, you know, you don't spray paint swastikas on synagogues, and you just don't go into somebody's church, man. There's got to be a better way of protesting someone's the religious institution's political acts than going in and messing with the actual I don't know, rituals of the church. But because to me, that says you disagree with the actual. They pled not guilty to the official charges of hooliganism driven by religious hatred. That's not religious hatred. They're talking about the hierarchy, the political structure. Tolokonikova said she felt sorry if some of the believers felt insulted by their act, but that they didn't mean to offend anyone. It wasn't clear how long the trial might last, but a court has recently ruled that the women should be kept in custody for another half year. Wow, man, you can go to jail legally for a year and not even be found guilty in Russia if you are a hooligan in a church.
Woo! I didn't know what being a hooligan in a church is.
What they just did, man. They did a prayer against the president. Yeah, it sounds pretty Stalininiska to me, man. They did a prayer against Putin in a church. That's being a hooligan. And you can go to jail for a year?
Woo!
They ain't been found guilty yet.
No, they're not guilty yet, man. They're just being... unless, of course, you're a gangbanger and you can be held for... Anyway, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7444. What is it? 877-876-7445. Yeah, that's our number, although we're not taking calls.
is oh. our bitch. The and Phil the Henry Show.
Romney do, man? Did Romney do something else? Romney stirs new controversy. Comments on Israel bring Palestinian outrage on Mideast visit. It wasn't supposed to be this way. This is Casey Hunt writing for ABCnews.go. ABC News, a notoriously left-wing... I don't know, man. That if you listen to Bill O'Reilly, though...
What do you listen to Bill O'Reilly for?
I don't listen to Bill O'Reilly, but it seems like every time I turn that guy on, he's bitching about ABC.
They fired him, didn't they?
Who?
ABC.
No, he worked for some other... I think he worked for NBC. I don't know who he worked for. It wasn't supposed to be this way. Mitt Romney outraged Palestinians on Monday, telling Jewish donors that their culture is part of what has allowed them to be more economically successful than the Palestinians. That fresh controversy on his visit to Israel came just days after insulting the British in what was intended as a feel-good visit to the Olympics in London. Whether or not the trip changes votes back home, the effect hasn't seemed to be what Romney's presidential campaign had in mind. His first steps onto the world stage as President Barack Obama's Republican challenger were carefully crafted to avoid political risk. Maybe they were, but there was one thing they didn't craft, and that was the guy himself. They should have crafted a gag for the guy.
Yeah, they should have crafted a ball gag.
All right, man, shut up.
No.
Ow. There, yeah. I endorse that. Good, Robert.
That hurt.
Yeah, well, you're over there going,
Why does he get to hit me?
Because you made your point and then you're going, Shut up, bud.
You didn't think that was funny?
No, I didn't think it was funny. Romney's latest trouble stemmed from a speech. Get out of here, man.
Ow.
Yeah. Stemmed from a speech he gave to Jewish donors in which he suggested that their culture was part of what has allowed them to be more economically successful than Palestinians. Kind words for Israel are standard for many American politicians, but Palestinian leaders suggested his specific comments were racist and out of touch with the realities of the Middle East. Because it's billed as a layup, it's billed as something that should be simple, perhaps he let his guard down, said Hogan Gidley, a senior aide under former Republican presidential candidate Rick Santorum. You say, gosh, this guy is so scripted, the campaign is so disciplined, so smart, how could this happen? Still, he doubted that Romney would suffer any long-term effects among voters who are still undecided 3 months before the election.
I don't get it.
Well, when you say their culture, yeah, some people are going to think that's racist because they think that that means Jewish people have just, you know, a superior culture than the Palestinians because they were able to create a superior culture and the Palestinians weren't. I think, you know, we have gotten to a point now where, you know, every comment can be perceived as a comment that leads to another comment that leads to another comment. And the next thing you know, you got a racist. You know, if you think that, then you must think. If you say that the, for instance, if you say the Israeli people coming from the Israeli people, descendants of people who survived the Holocaust in Europe, have a sense of life's, shall we say, have a sense of how fragile and tenuous life is, and therefore apply themselves in a way that, you know, brings a lot of results because they're very tenacious, that's cool. Because you're not comparing, you're not saying, and Palestinians don't do that. You say, well, Palestinians do the same thing, you know, coming from a different sort of reality.
Yeah, they don't come from the Holocaust, though.
Palestinians come from deprivation. They come from their own reality of hardship, man. Where he makes a mistake is when he says, the Israelis' culture is why they succeed. And I believe he said, didn't he contrast them? That's, he contrasted them with the Palestinians, meaning the Israelis do this, 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 and this, and the Palestinians don't. Now, that's the mistake. That's the mistake he made. He should have kept his mouth shut about the Palestinians.
Yeah, that's chicken stuff, though, man. I mean, you got to stand there and...
Well, look, man, you can call it chicken stuff, but here's the thing. And all I'm going to say is the cat said it. I understand where he's coming from. If it was me, I would have told, if I was his manager, campaign manager, I would have said, hey, you know, Governor, leave the stuff out about the Palestinians. You can say what you want about the Israelis. It's fine. But just don't contrast them with the Palestinians because it's going to be perceived as a negative. He didn't do it. Okay, fine. Great. What are you going to tell the guy? You're not fair if you don't vote for him? People are going to vote for who they vote for because of things that they believe. And if this guy pisses somebody off with a comment like that, what are you going to do? Blame him. Can't blame anybody else.
I'm going to vote for him, and I don't care.
Good. Vote for him. You know?
You ain't going to vote for him.
So far, the guy's not knocking it out of the park with me. So far, he's making a lot of I don't like. I haven't liked Romney since this whole... Since he's been doing these dances with some of these social issues that I favor. Anyway, so that's Romney. Predictably, Obama's campaign was more critical, with senior strategist David Axelrod saying on Twitter, is there anything about Romney's rolling ruckus that would inspire confidence in his ability to lead U.S. foreign policy? It's unclear whether voters in the U.S. are paying attention to Romney's stumbles, especially as concerns about the nation's economy dominate most Americans' concerns. That's a good point. Romney's rolling ruckus. That may not... so they're saying that this stuff's probably not going to have any traction here in the United States. I'd say it has the same impact as a stub toe, said John Stinneman, a marketing consultant in Des Moines. All right.
Ain't Des Moines in Iowa?
Yeah, and it's Des Moines. It ain't Des Moines.
You said Des Moines.
I was making a joke, man. Jeez. All right, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Don't forget online at philhenryshow.com at a backstage pass. You can see live video of our show every night. Episode number 24 is in the can, baby, or as they say over at Jimmy Pardo's Never Not Funny podcast, it has dropped, Jack. So make sure you go and get a hold of our podcast, episode 24. All right? All right. Anyway, our show is produced by Dan Northcraft. And, of course, yours truly, Phil Hendry. We'll see you guys coming up later on tonight. Until then, let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Hendry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft. Well, he already said.
Phil Hendry.